It only takes two words to strike absolute terror into the heart of a student. The combination of the word pop and quiz, right? And like absolute terror, your heart, your brain goes numb, like your heart flutters, so on and so on. So I'm going to offer you a pop quiz this morning on the cat, or I guess this evening. That's where I'm at. And so I'm still stuck in this morning from, it's been a long day. Okay, anyways, back to the gospel, to the homily. So pop quiz, here we go. What is the central mystery of the Christian faith? What, according to the Catechism of the Church, is the central mystery of the Christian faith? Is it A, the incarnation of Jesus Christ? Is it B, the mystery of the Holy Trinity? Or is it C, the mystery of the transubstantiation of Christ becoming the body, the mystery of the true presence, body and blood, soul and divinity? A, incarnation. B, Holy Trinity. Or C, transubstantiation. The answer is B, the Holy Trinity, right? The central mystery, the core, the heart, the center of the Christian faith is the Holy Trinity. And that's what we celebrate today, the Feast of the Holy Trinity. It's the very, very, very center of who we are as Christians. It doesn't get more central than the central mystery, the Holy Trinity. And but the thing of it is, if that's so important, if that really is the central mystery, that's the heart of our faith, why is it that so many Christians have about a second-grade understanding of the Trinity? It never goes much beyond the whole St. Patrick thing with the clover, right? So you got the three leaves of the clover, three leaves, one clover, three persons, one God, right? And that's pretty much, if you were to ask the average Catholic to explain the Trinity, that's what they would get. You know, three persons, one God. Okay, so that's minimum. That's a minimal, and your second graders could tell you the same thing. Right? That's not good. Because this is the central mystery of the faith. This is the core. This is the heart. This is what we worship. This is what sets us aside from every other kind of faith out there. And you know, you can know, St. Thomas Aquinas says that you can know by reason, simply rational thought, reasoning through, you can know that there is a God. But it takes divine revelation. It takes God coming to us and revealing himself to us to know that God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That takes divine revelation. We only know that because God has told us so through Scripture. So in our readings today, this mystery, the central mystery of the Christian faith, what does the church offer us as our readings for the central mystery? We get this strange reading from the book of Exodus. Early in the morning, Moses went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, taking along two stone tablets. And having come down from the cloud, the Lord stood with Moses, and there he proclaimed his name. God, Almighty God, has come to Moses. He's revealing himself to Moses. He pronounces his name, the Tetragrammaton, right? The name that the Jews would not pronounce. If you pronounced this name, the Tetragrammaton, you would be stoned. No questions asked. Only the high priest would pronounce his name, and only once a year when he was in the Holy of Holies, he would whisper the name of God because it was so holy. But God comes and pronounces his own name. There he proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before Moses and cried out, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. This is God's own self-description of himself to Moses. Rich in a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. This is how God described himself. And when I hear this coming from the book of Exodus, and then I hear people say, well, the God of the Old Testament, he's a wrathful, angry, vengeful God. But the new God of the New Testament, that's a whole different story. He's a loving God and merciful and kind. People who say that are not reading their Bible. This is God's own self-definition. Slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. This word that God uses to describe himself, in Hebrew, it's one word. It's hesed. The word hesed. In English, we translate it with two words because there is no direct translation. It's a word that encompasses a lot more than what we can say in English. So we take two words to describe this word hesed. Kindness and fidelity, rich in kindness and fidelity. But really, and even the New American Translation that we use in today's reading, it's a weak translation. Kindness is actually love. And fidelity is actually more like covenant, unbreakable. And so if you want a real translation of the way God describes himself, rich in covenant love, rich in steadfast love, rich in a love that's unbreakable, unshaking, unremovable, and unretractable. It's a love that reaches out to the other and it cannot be taken back. That's the kind of love that God describes himself as having. And not only here, but you go throughout the Old Testament, and one of the most frequently used words to describe God, one of his frequently noted attributes is chesed, merciful covenant love. That's how God describes himself in the Old Testament. And now, fast forward, with that as a background, fast forward to the New Testament, to our gospel reading today, John 3:16 and following. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And now you've heard that saying 1,000 times, and it's almost cliche because, you know, Tim Tebow paints it on his face and kneels down when he does his touchdowns and stuff, right? And so it's just in one ear and out the other. But hold on a minute. This is huge. This is important. God so loved the world that he sent his only son. We're talking about a mystery of the Trinity. Realize that before time began, before God spoke the word, let there be light, he loved you. And as a matter of fact, he was so in love with the concept, with the idea that he had in his mind from all eternity of you, that he sent his son to die, that he spoke the word, let there be light, so that he could create a world, so that you could exist, so that he could redeem you. That's the mystery of a Trinity. I was on a retreat probably 6 or 8 years ago, I guess probably about 6 years ago. And on this retreat, our retreat director was Monsignor Essif, who was St. Teresa of Calcutta's spiritual director for 18 years. So needless to say, he was a pretty holy guy, you know. He was my retreat director on this retreat, and at one point he asked us to pray with this gospel passage, John 3:16 through 18. And I did. I spent probably 3-4 hours with this one passage, just kind of going over it again. And at one point, I put my name in the scripture. And I invite you to do the same. Instead of the world, put your name in there. God so loved Curtis that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn Curtis, but that Curtis might be saved through him. I prayed that prayer with this passage. I read that gospel passage with my name in it. And I had this, for lack of a better term, a vision of Christ crucified, nailed to the cross, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it was as real as anything I've experienced. And I saw the dried blood on his legs, and I saw the nail of the dirt and the gravel in his knees from where he fell. And I heard him crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus Christ crying out to God the Father, why have you forsaken me? And in my mind's eye, I saw God the Father and his desire to reach down and scoop Jesus off the cross. I mean, realize, do you think God the Father was just up in heaven, like with his arms crossed, like all angry? We have this vision of the Father being the one who's ready to condemn us. As soon as we mess up, God, by golly, I'm gonna send you to hell. Do you think God the Father was without sorrow watching Jesus suffer on the cross? He wanted to scoop his son down. Mom and Dad, what would you do if you witnessed your kid being tortured in front of you? And not just being tortured, but crying out to you, my Mom, Dad, why have you forsaken me? Seeing you face to face, watching them suffer, watching them be tortured, and all you would have to do is push a button and you could save them. That's what God the Father did. And as he's reaching down to scoop Jesus off the cross, he stops because I was standing there. And here I was, 23 years old. It was the first time in my life I realized that God the Father actually loved me. He didn't just put up with me. I wasn't just some accident that, well, now I have him, so I have to take care of him. But God the Father was the one who chose me and sent Christ to die for me. That's the nature of love. Why do we call God the Father? Because he has the Son. God the Father doesn't make sense if there's no Son. And God the Son, Jesus Christ, doesn't make sense if there's no Father. And the love that they have between one another is a love that's so strong and so real that it actually is a person. Just like you and I are persons, not a human person, but a person nonetheless. And that person we call the Holy Spirit. What is heaven? What is the gift of heaven? What do we think of when we think of heaven? Usually it's the cheap little, you know, Hallmark moments with clouds and harps and little cherubs floating around. Heaven is actually being invited into the inner life of the Trinity and being loved, being filled by love so unconditionally that for the rest of eternity, you are just swallowed up by the love of God. That's what heaven actually is. This love of Father for the Son that is the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we have to have our understanding expand beyond a shamrock. Because that's just such a small and really kind of inaccurate picture of who God is. It's just a simple analogy. Three persons, one God. But God, when St. John the Evangelist tells us that God is love, he doesn't say God is like love. He doesn't say God shows us love. He doesn't say God is loving. But God, by his very nature, who he is, his essence is the same thing as love. To will the good of the other. And he proved it by sending his Son to die for us. The central mystery is the Trinity. The Father loving the Son loving the Father. That love being so real that it is the Holy Spirit. And it's a love that's so strong that it can't just contain itself. It has to be sent out to share, to be invite us to share in that love. That's the mystery of the Trinity. That's this God that we worship. And if you're still stuck with the angry God of the Old Testament who can't wait to strike you down, it's time to reevaluate, because that's a false idol. That's not actually the God we worship. That's not the God I worship. That's not the God that we bring before this altar. It's a God who loves us, who loves you. He doesn't just love the world, he loves you. Put your name in this gospel passage. For God so loved Curtis that he gave his only Son. God is love.